T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. 1, 2, 3.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, time now to go to the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline, talk a little KU sports. And I guess between Oklahoma State, Monmouth, Duke, Greensboro, Bryce Thompson, no shortage of things to talk about. Brian Haney joining us, as he does every Wednesday. Brian, we talked a little bit earlier about the shocker in college basketball last night, that Evansville beat Kentucky and Sam Cunliffe was right in the middle of it. What are your memories and recollections of Sam Cunliffe?
Well, he was always one of the best athletes on the team. Terrific vertical leap. Explosive off the bounce. I mean, there was a lot you liked when you watched him in one-on-one workouts and stuff like that. It never clicked for him as consistently in the five-on-five that would have kept him here and made him more of a prominent player in the rotation. And, you know, for whatever reason, it just wasn't a fit. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, from an attitude standpoint, he was liked by his teammates. I certainly love talking to him. He's got a lot of charisma and a great kid. So I actually sent him a message last night after the game telling how happy I was for him. And that's the way I think Bill Self or anybody else would react. We cheer for these guys, no mm-hmm. doubt. It's not like he left and everybody was like, good riddance. We were you're going to cheer for him regardless. It just wasn't the right fit here. But I think Evansville clearly is building something there with Coach McCarty and everything. And certainly when you're a top five program, you hate to say it, but yeah, we cheer against the other top five programs because we want to climb higher. Right. I'm a guy that's very aware of the fact that we started the season 19 wins back of Kentucky in the all-time wins list. In the Billy Gillespie era, we closed the gap dramatically for a couple of years there. But I always cheer against those guys, and I cheer against anybody else ahead of us in the polls. You know, Bill Self might not be that way as much as the common fan is because he could care less about rankings. He cares more about their net rating and that kind of thing. But I, for one, as a KU fan first, I love it when they go down. So that was definitely a great sight to see.
Well, then it was a hell of a day for you, Brian, because you get Kentucky going down, and you pull Bryce Thompson, who arguably is the best recruit, and this is saying something, in this program for the last couple of years. That's a huge get for you out of Tulsa.
It is huge, and man, I wish we were doing this interview in like 2 hours because I could wax poetic for 20 minutes about him. But because the faxed LOI has not been stamped yet, I can't say anything. And Coach couldn't last night either. It was really bad timing for Hawk Talk because, you know, until they get the actual signature, as a person that works internally at KU, I can't speak and Coach can't speak about it. But I did get Coach to say it was a good day indeed, and that's about all he could say.
Okay.
But I promise you, if he could elaborate, the word would not have been good. It would have been spectacular. It would have been in all caps, and it would have been bold with a 68-point font because that's how big a news that is. And next week when I come on, we'll lead with it, baby. We'll talk all about it and the other two kids that – they hope to get into here today. I just wish our timing was about 2 hours later. Sorry about that, guys.
We should have known that. I will say this, though. I read somewhere where, and it sounds like Bryce Thompson is a really thoughtful kid, that he apparently had conversation with the athletics director, Jeff Long, and basically Long looked him in the eye, told him, here's how it's going to be. Any kind of trouble, quote unquote trouble with the NCAA. You know, he's very transparent about the allegations from the NCAA. So to get Bryce Thompson in the wake of all that and having talked to the athletic director certainly says a lot about Bryce Thompson and doing his due diligence. Okay, so a lot of places to go here. We're talking with Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the the KU Jayhawks. The win over UNC Greensboro, if you had to describe it in one word, how would you describe it?
Bittersweet.
Okay.
Bitter being Jalen Wilson. Sweet being the fact that they beat an NCAA tournament caliber team by double digits. And though it was close for the first half, they really put the hammer down and got some serious separation in the second half. And so that's why there's certainly a lot of sweet to it. I mean, you know, at one point, Kansas is up by 21 before ultimately winning by 12 against a team that we'll be able to compare them directly with East Tennessee State here in two games. That's the number one and number two teams in the preseason Southern Conference poll. And according to Coach Self, last year, Greensboro was the 69th team in the eyes of the selection committee, the first school that did not make it. So I think you feel real good about how convincing it looked in the second half, particularly when they went to the four guard around one big rotation and the way Isaiah Moss shot the ball and stretched the floor. And he's still got a ways to go to get fully back and impact the game defensively. He's still about 85 or 90% with his hamstring, according to Coach Self. But clearly that shot, that jump shot of his is at 100% and hitting on midseason form, because he hit three shots, all from right around 21 feet, the two of which latter were both ruled threes. The other, his foot was on the line, but very impressive debut, doing exactly what you want him to do, because that was the biggest glaring weakness prior to him committing to Kansas in the spring. You knew once Doak was coming back and Silvio was cleared that you were going to have as imposing of a front line in America, but you didn't know where the three-point shots were going to come from with Vic departed, yeah. Quentin Grimes transferring, and that's about it. So that, to me, was the most positive takeaway, was Moss's debut. But to lose Jalen Wilson, who probably would have been your most logical, you ride the hot hand, stretch four option. And that's not to say he's better than Tristan Inaruna, but it just in terms of the way he's built, I think if they ended up deciding to go more four around one in the starting lineup over the long haul, he might have been that guy. Now he won't be, and now it causes you to reevaluate how much will they still go four around one. They will. But if anything, this may cause Coach to stick with the two big approach a little bit more in matchups where they can, because again, this is their biggest advantage over anybody they play. They just have to find a way to space the floor and take advantage of their advantage. Because if I asked you guys right now to do a KU basketball fantasy draft, and Bruce and Shane were going back and forth, I'm guessing by the sixth pick, all three of our big guys would be off the board. Mm-hmm. And you could argue,
yeah,
maybe
you're probably right. Yeah, that's a good call.
And if that's the case, you don't want to have only one of those guys logging significant minutes and then the other two guys behind him just backing up to a combined total of 17 minutes between David McCormick and Silvio De Sousa. You don't want your fifth and sixth best players, or however you want to rank them, playing that little. So right now, Coach has to find a way to get his most imposing lineup on the floor, but also playing like a well-oiled machine, because the more effective-looking well-oiled machine last Friday was four guards around one big, and that's really when KU made their run early in the second half.
Well, and that was the source of my question a week ago when we chatted. And their rhythm, you're right. When you talk about taking talent – and in a vacuum, and you start placing two big guys and three guards, you can make really good arguments. But man, when you see it playing out on the floor, they were in so much better rhythm going four around one, I thought. Now, that doesn't mean that it matchups are change and this, that, and the other thing. But Kansas generally has enough talent to dictate those types of things anyway. So do you think that Bill will – I mean, obviously he's going to work situationally, but do you think that he's probably more apt now to fall back on the four around one?
It would have been a resounding yes if you had the complement of players they entered the game with. Now,
right.
While
okay.
you can still yeah. do plenty of that with Brown and Inaruna, it definitely changed it a little bit, because he would have been their most logical stretch four pick and pop guy, as Bill Self likes to term it, Jalen Wilson, that is. And now you don't have that until late January at the earliest, and realistically maybe the first week in February. And then how soon is he back to what he could have been, and how far has he fallen behind the other guys in terms of adapting to the D1 major conference game, all of that. So I think that you're still going to see probably a pretty 50-50 balance of both styles here in the early season. And, you know, will that change when Michigan State rolls around and the champions round of the Maui Invitational? We'll see. But, and that's obviously assuming they both get there. Mm-hmm. But between now and then, I think the competition is good, but it's also below you enough that you can tinker a little bit and try to give these two bigs more chances to play together, whichever combination we're talking about. Because bottom line is, Silvio and David are too talented to only be getting 7 or 8 minutes a game behind Doak. And you want to find a way to accentuate that positive. But your observation is spot on, Bruce. And I think everybody that was there on Friday night saw that. So be interesting to see how it evolves the next couple of weeks prior to their next heavy hitter game in what would be the Wednesday finale out there in Maui versus Michigan State. Yeah.
Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the KU Jayhawks, joining us. You can hear KU football Hawk Talk tonight with Les Miles on air at 7 right here on KFH, your home for KU. And the basketball team will take on Monmouth Friday night on air at 6, tip at 7 right here on KFH. One of the only times you'll be watching a K-State basketball game with interest might be tonight, because the Monmouth Hawks take on K-State. So maybe you get a little bit of a sneak preview of them tonight, huh?
I watched every game of theirs with interest last year because I was worried about them taking down the streak, which they did. So, yeah, I'll be watching them again. But, but yeah, you know, it's interesting to see what Monmouth has built. We talked about Walter McCarty at Evansville, but they've got a couple NBA guys on their bench as well. And so, and they're also Carolina guys, by the way. So it's going to be interesting to see. This is the second consecutive game we've gone up against some either Roy Williams or Dean Smith proteges. And in this case, versus Greensboro, it was a Roy Williams guy that some think could be on the short list if he wins enough to be in consideration for that job. But then you look down at J.R. Reed is one of the top assistants on this team. And obviously, you know, the head coach is King Rice. So a lot of Carolina influence these last two games. And I think both of these staffs, you know, are rising these programs for a reason. So it wouldn't be surprising to me to see either of these guys coaching at the major conference level very soon. But it's a good team. It's a talented team that I think will give K-State a good run for their money tonight. And is it as good as Greensboro was or East Tennessee State will be? I'm not sure yet. I'll tell you after we watch tonight. But clearly I'm impressed with their ambitious scheduling. And I know Coach Self thinks they're very athletic and will pose a great challenge on Friday.
Let's flip the page to football. Interested on the trip to Stillwater coming up Saturday morning, bright and early. Big underdogs against an Oklahoma State team. Now the shadow of basketball is creeping over football, as inevitably it does as soon as the Jayhawks take to the hardwood. You don't want this thing to get lost down the season stretch, do you, Brian? Because too many good things have happened, and yet here they are trying to wash a bad taste out of their mouth headed to Stillwater.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the good news is, until they lose next, everything they set out to accomplish is still there. And as much as that might seem pie in the sky to you guys or folks listening on KFH, every single man in that locker room believes they're still going to make a run here and possibly get bowl eligibility, whether it's 6-6 or 5-7, should there be extra spots available. They all still believe it's within reach and very doable. And I'll throw out this stat to you, Bruce. Did you know, in the Les Miles era, KU averages 48 points a game coming off a bye week? Did you know that? So I think that's going to help a lot.
Well, it's bizarre that they've got two of them, but be that as it may, I mean, that seems to be the trend now in college football. Oh my God, we can't play week to week. We got to have 2 weeks off now. But that's a good stat. I'll use that this weekend.
You should. But no, yeah. I do think this, as much as it may seem like I'm pumping sunshine and rainbows, especially when the last glimpse your listeners got of our football team was maybe the most deflating performance of the season, even more so than Coastal Carolina or TCU because of the hype heading into the game and what it meant to the rivalry and all that, because that taste is still somewhere on your tongue. It's hard to sit up here and listen to me preach about how these kids still believe they can go bowling. But it's true. I mean, the belief that Coach Miles has created in that locker room and the sense of urgency, I'm really excited to see what it's going to look like over the first quarter or so. If they dig another big hole like they've done in some games this season, I'm not sure they climb out of it on the road against OSU. But if they come out guns a-blazing and have really made some nice tweaks over this open date last week and get some things rectified that just inexplicably went in the tank offensively the week before, then I think they got a great chance to compete. And I know historically it's not been good going down there, but none of these last three games, including Baylor, who right now is somehow in line for Miss America, but is not the prettiest girl at the pageant by any means. I mean, she's got right. The sparkly resume and record and everything, but if you've watched their games, how is this team, you know, still knocking off clubs every single week? It's amazing. None of these remaining games are beyond KU's stretch or reach. I think, you know, what you think about as a Kansas fan that's looking at the glass half empty is that, well, dang it, you know, last time we went to Ames, you know, we just got totally blitzed. Same thing last time we went to Stillwater. These have not historically been competitive games on the road. But if you think about the way Kansas has looked differently on the road this year, whether it's Austin, Texas, or, you know, we're talking about Boston College, I realize TCU is the outlier there. But in most cases, this has been a different road team than what we saw prior. And I think that gives me great hope that Kansas can compete in both of those spots. And I'm not expecting them to run the table, but I do think they got a great shot to win one of these last three. And if they win one and it comes early enough, there's no reason why they can't get to 5-7. And if that's the case and there are spots to be had, I wouldn't doubt Jeff Long for one second, his ability to get Kansas into bowl consideration. So these kids are going to fight until they're told they have no breath left to breathe. And I love that about this team. And I think that starts at the top with Les Miles.
Speaking of, KU Hawk Talk is tonight at 7, from 7 to 8 right here on KFH with Les Miles. Oklahoma State, Brian, is it just an open and shut case that they've got to stop Chuba Hubbard? Otherwise, that's it?
He's a load.
He is, and he's an absolute stud, and this is a Kansas run defense that just gave up 6 yards a carry in their last game to K-State. So it's obviously the biggest key, no doubt. And if you can't get off the field, because he's just gassing you every time, if the only way to get off the field is they've just scored and they're lined up to kick a PAT, that's no way to live. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest key. But as I said earlier, I really want to see the bounce-back factor of the Brent Dierman offensive influence, because the hype was almost getting too huge after 2 weeks of, you know, 540 yards, scoring 48 one week and 37 the next, and just showing you explosive plays like we hadn't seen at any point this season. And then it just all went away. So hopefully it doesn't turn into a shootout. It probably will, because I don't know how you stop Chuba Hubbard right now, as beat up as Kansas is in a couple of spots. But they did have the extra week to get set for it. I do think DJ Elliott, Clint Bowen and company are great coaches. We'll see what they can come up with. But I think you're right. Very astute in pointing out that's as big a key as any on Saturday.
All right, tonight is Hawk Talk with Les Miles at 7 right here on KFH. Then Friday night, it's KU Hoops and Monmouth on air at 6, tip at 7 right here on KFH. And a quick turnaround for Brian as KU takes on Oklahoma State on air at 10 a.m., kick at 11. Right here on KFH. So you'll be busy, but it's better than the alternative, and I know you wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, I love it. This is a fun time of year, no doubt. And, you know, we did not do well the last time we had a quick turnaround between the Sunflower Showdown and heading out to New York for the Champions Classic. But here's hoping that this really busy 24-hour stretch, or probably more realistically, it's about an 18-hour stretch, is much more fruitful for Kansas. It's been a great start to the week. As Bruce pointed out, the young man I can't talk about just yet until it's official, let's make it a great end of the week, because we got KU Hoops, KU Football, and then the Big 12 champion Kansas soccer team hosts an NCAA soccer match at 5 on Saturday. So a lot of good stuff going on here at Jayhawk Nation.
We appreciate you joining us, as always, every Wednesday and talking about KU. Brian, appreciate that.
Hey, thank you, and thanks to my friends at the Mattress Hub. They do an amazing job of customer service, have the best selection around. So start thinking about holiday gift-giving ideas. How about a brand-new mattress or bedroom accessories from the Mattress Hub? Check them out today at themattresshub.com. Really appreciate it, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Brian. Sounds
Thanks,
good.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Haney, voice of the KU Jayhawks, as they were, well, have been and will continue to be busy in multiple sports in different places. And it starts Friday as Monmouth, the Hawks, take on KU. All right. We need to get to the Twitter question, which we kind of neglected thanks to Mike Fiers. So we'll get to it. What else are we leaving out that we Wichita baseball is making its announcement on the logo, name, and everything else tonight. That should go down around 6:15. I'll go out there. I'll do the best job that I can to get somebody from Wichita baseball on tomorrow. So we'll find out what kind of logos, memorabilia, apparel, all that. Colors, names, you name it. We'll find that out tonight. So we can talk about that. And then State Farm picks were a disaster for those not named State Farm. And we've got some games that we'll be picking this weekend. All that straight ahead. That's courtesy of Side Pockets. What's on tap?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.